Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and My World with Stu Scheer. Anyway, you come on over to the Trim Radio Network where you can listen in, you can buy merchandise, and if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us and we'll show you how easy it is. And we broadcast live all over the world. And furthermore, we just wanted to let you know this great song right here, Leave It to Beaver, is covered under our BMI music license 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You could call in, give us your opinion, just no cussing, no swearing. And with that, I am going to give you to Stu.
Hey, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's been a crazy day today. You ever tried to herd cats?
Herding a cat is like spitting in the wind.
Well, or worse. And I'll tell you what, this morning a friend of mine said, could you help me take my cat to the vet? Let's put it this way. You want to put on some type of armored vest, heavy gloves, take a net. And we had to do this by 8 o'clock and be at the vet by 8:45. And I said, being a nice guy that I am, I said, okay, I'll do that. And suddenly the cat got wind. He's never over here at any 8 o'clock in the morning. I just looked at my cat watch. What's he doing here? And I was petting the cat. Of course, I didn't have any gloves or anything on. I thought I could get away with it. And the cat carrier was brought in, and it was a big one because she's a big cat. And next thing I know, the cat is running all around trying to hide and crawled under a bed, and we had to coax her out from there. Then she ran to a perch and got on that. Then she went someplace. It was like, I wished I could have taken a video of this. It was comedy of errors. And eventually she got so tired, we put her in the cat carrier and got her into the car, and she complained all the way to the vet. We got her into the vet. He's a very nice guy, excellent with animals, and he checks her over, and he says she doesn't have any problems. So then we put her back in the car, and we headed back, and the cat didn't really make more than a couple of little meows, and that was it. And so then we had to get her back in the house, and then we turned her loose, and she looked at us for a couple of seconds, and then she took off. And she hid under her bed for probably about an hour until the food came out, and then she was there. It was crazy this morning.
How many stitches did you all get?
None. I was lucky because she doesn't have any front claws, but her back claws are sharp as all get out. I could have had multiple stitches if she would have cut loose on that.
Yeah, they bite hard too. So just so you know, they bite hard, and boy, do they hurt! All right, well,
I'm going to let you go. I can show you the scars on my arm.
I'm going to let you roll, Stu.
All right. Well, you have a good one. We'll see you in about an hour.
Yep.
Hey, guys. Welcome to my world, Stu? On the Trim Radio Network.
Stu?
And like I just said with Michael, today
I could shine a Roman candle off of your forehead.
It isn't one thing, it's another. And we always have a good time on the show, but we always have to do a disclaimer. I know Michael does his, but I got to add in mine. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt. And always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. Oh, and tell your friends to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Wow, we've got a lot to go over tonight. There's so much stuff going on locally, nationally, and oh. And then the trip to the vets. Oh, well. Big shout outs to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And we've been working on this show for quite a while, and Michael and I have been working together for years, and we're like best buds, and we have a lot of fun with the show. You ought to listen in before the show. We ought to do a show before the show, or the show after the show. I mean, we have fun, and we really do. You have to join us at the Trim Radio Network because we cut the bull and serve the truth. Check us out, trimradio.com. We are all over the world. I've got listeners in Myanmar, South Africa, India. As long as they know English, they're fine because I don't know their language. And we've got people in Europe. We've got people in North America. We've got people all over that listen to us, except for one thing. We don't have anybody from Iceland. So if you're from Iceland, please let us know. You guys speak very good English. Matter of fact, you probably speak better English than Americans do, maybe even than British. So let us know. We've got a lot of good merchandise. If you take a look at the stuff that we have for the shop section, the merch, as Michael likes to call it. Austin Ealy has a mug and t-shirts and hats and all kinds of stuff. I've got a mug. Fishing in Florida has a ultra cotton t-shirt. And there's a lot of different stuff. And I wish Michael would come up with a mug that's basically black, but when you add hot coffee or tea to it, it turns into money. A dollar bill, a $10 bill, a $50 bill, whatever. And we can use that for the money and change show. I don't know that I have anything right now for my world. We'll have to come up with something. But check it out. Buy our merchandise. Help support the show. We don't get paid for this. I don't really want to be paid because I just help people and have fun along the way. Hey, our shows, we've got Fishing in Florida show with Rascala Stefan. We've also got Money and Change radio show, My World Laugh, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. We've got the Natural Marketer podcast. We've got Offsides College Football Top 25, the Red Pill Reality Show, Slobber Knocker Talk, Spiritual Freedom Show, Take Point 22 radio show, the Nixie Weekly Music Countdown, the Brighter Life Show, and more. And Michael Bejas even started a new show. So you got to tune in. Tune in to trimradio.com. Wow, we've got Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, and we always promote Rusty Ducks Custom Pens because Phil over there, he makes some of the best daggone custom pens and blanks that I've ever seen. He can make the regular pen, or he can make the center part, and you could use a lathe and turn it down and polish it and have a center part of the pen. That's called the blank. And he does excellent work. Michael and I both have pens. We paid for our pens. He doesn't give them out. And they're great. If you have a college or a university or a high school or a grade school or business, fraternity, club, you can have those pens made up. And Phil doesn't let them out of the shop until they're absolutely beautiful and perfect. He's got a couple of great Second Amendment pens that are really, really, really nice. And they're based on a cross pen platform. So that's quality stuff. So check him out, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And that's RustyDucks Custom Pens and Blanks, BLANKS. Check him out. Money and Change. Check us out on Sundays. This Sunday, I have a concert I have to play. And luckily, we're playing the concert at 3. I should be done by 4:30 and be ready to be on the show and ready to go by 7 p.m. live. And that's really pushing it for me. I've got a lot of stuff to get ready for. So Sunday is going to be a crazy day for me. I enjoy playing the concerts and I enjoy doing the shows. And so now I get to do both the same day, which is great. You know, I always promote Brad and Krista over at the Big Family Homestead. They're great people. You have to listen to them and watch them on YouTube. The Big Family Homestead, check them out. Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King, check them out. They're down in Wiggins, Mississippi. Great people. Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King, check them out. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler and his boots on the ground. He lets us know how bad the inflation is. And I post a lot of the videos on not only my world, Life, Laugh, and Whatever. I also do it on Money and Change. Why? Because you have to be informed. Things are happening right now that are so scary. You have to think twice. Gee, are we going to make it? Or am I going to have enough food in the house? Gee, I don't know how to prep. How do I make my food last longer? How do I spend my money wisely? Do I really need Netflix? Do I really need to go out and eat 5 nights a week or 6 nights a week? And when I cook meals, how can I save money doing it? Do I have enough freezer space? How do I save my pennies and dimes and nickels and quarters and, well, half dollars if you can get them? So what do? And still enjoy life. That's the problem. But we go over that, and Dave Kobler talks a lot about that stuff. And of course, Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell, he's still working on his little compound down in West Virginia. And he's trying to make some headway before winter sets in. He's putting in a new driveway, which is all stone, crushed stone. And there's an art to that. And he's got quite a long drive to get ready to keep from getting ruts. And then we have Patara at Appalachian Homestead. She's a great gal, good common sense stuff. You can check her out on YouTube too. And she tells it like it is. And when I follow people, whether or not it's Dave Kobler or anybody else, Brad and Krista, even Prepper Princess, which is Amber Stork. She's a good person and she talks about how to really save money. And she took herself from a problem into a millionaire. And she explains how she did it and why she did it. And she knows a lot of things about how to make your money and multiply it. That's the key. So check out all of those that I've recommended. I'll recommend more as they come up. I mean, I try to follow everything that I can to be able to help you guys out. And tonight we have a little bit of fun. It's a little bit of laid back, kicking back type, enjoyable type of things. But, you know, there's so much stuff out there. I was trying to follow some stuff this morning, and there was a thing where they had riots in Philadelphia, actually looting, and and it was on CNN and others, and I wondered, what the heck is going on? We never had looting and people just walking in, large groups of them going in and trashing a store and leaving. And the employees can't really stop them from doing stuff. And if they do, they get beaten to a pulp. Now, in the old days, God, I feel like I'm a real old person now, but in the old days, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe even into the 80s, we'd never really had that. People were civil. C-I-V-I-L. They behaved for the most part. But now it seems like, oh, we can do anything and not get caught. And that's not good. You take a look at what's going on out there, and I saw this stuff, a video of it, and there were like, I believe, four policemen outside of the store, and people were just in, trashing the store, and then coming out, and they were trying to stop them and everything else. And then later on, I believe Mayor Kennedy basically got the riot police involved. And the same thing was going on in Chicago. And when you get crime like that, people that have stores will only be there so long. They have a situation where they're losing money. And if they keep losing money due to theft, which is called shrinkage, then you end up pulling the plug and pulling the store. I don't even think Dollar General or Dollar Tree could do anything in those instances. I think they would just close up and say, we don't need to hang around here. And you get your finer stores like Macy's or Nordstrom's or whatever. And they can only take so much of a loss. And then they say, well, this is constant crime. We're out of here. We're closing up shop. We're moving out to the suburbs. We're not putting up with it. And then you have your city governments that don't do anything. It's like, well, we'll just let them go ahead and riot, and then we'll clean up after the mess. And some people get hurt, and buildings get destroyed. People's incomes get destroyed because people don't obey the law. There was an instance, a friend of mine that's over in England that has a YouTube channel. He came out and he said, well, they're going to start putting police on the streets in London. And it's because of all the migrants that have immigrated into the UK. And they've created their own little enclaves, and they don't want the police involved, and they riot and they do different things and stabbings. There used to be no big crime over in England, from what he said. I imagine there would be some, but here he's explaining now that they have problems and they have armed police over there. Well, that's normal here in Canada, that all the cops carry a sidearm. Over in England, it was so civilized, they really never did. But with the immigration situation, now they have armed police. And it got so bad, according to my friend, he lives outside of London, he said, it's getting so bad that I believe it was 40 of the armed police in London just put down their weapons and said, that's it, we're done, we're out of here, we're quitting, and more will follow suit. Well, finally, the government decided, we're bringing in the military. So now they'll have armed soldiers, armed sailors, whoever they put there, military police on the streets, and they will stop what's going on, or at least slow it down. why do we have all this vitriol, angst, hatred? I'm using big, crazy words, and I shouldn't be doing that. But it's going on. We don't need to have riots. We don't need to have muggings and thefts and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's just bad news. Around here, one of the towns close by put in flock cameras, in F-L-O-C-K. And supposedly, as of last year, with the cameras that they have, and I think they only had six in a town of about 25,000, they actually had solved some of the crimes, and the statistics are a little bit lower. But being close to Dayton, Ohio, it overflows, and I think we're getting into that too. And we may have to start using flock cameras. They run on solar power. They operate day and night. And it would be something that maybe we could have. But there's only so much of this violence that you put up with. If somebody broke into your house and held you at gunpoint and just ransacked the house and took whatever you earned your money for, I think you'd be not only scared, but you would be upset. And if they would try that in places like Kentucky or Tennessee, they would probably have britches full of lead balls. Double up buck, varmint shot, whatever. They don't put up with it down there. And it might be the same in parts of Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever. But you have to say, okay, what's my security like? We used to never lock our doors at night. That was back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. You didn't have to where I lived. And now it's commonplace to lock your doors. If not, you could get a visitor in the middle of the night. And a lot of us have cameras. So basically, you can't do anything on some people's property without being on camera. So, you know, you could turn that information over to the police and say, okay, here it is. Here's the guy's picture or the person's picture. It could be a girl, who knows? But you have that going on. And so we have to resort to having cameras, alarms, security locks, all kinds of stuff. Society is breaking down. And in Philadelphia, I think it broke down. And CNN says all liquor stores in Philadelphia were closed Wednesday after several locations were looted shortly after the conclusion of a peaceful protest against the judge's decision to dismiss all charges against a former Philadelphia police officer in a fatal traffic stop shooting. And later on it said, today, all FW and GS fine wine and good spirit stores in Philadelphia and one in Cheltenham Plaza, Wincote, Montgomery County are closed in the interest of employee safety. I think in Los Angeles, there was a sign one time that said, you loot, we shoot. I'd hate to see it come to that. I mean, people have to learn to behave themselves. They really do. And stuff is just going on. I mean, people need to cool down, take a step back, and learn to behave. And those that don't behave they deserve to get what's coming to them, whether or not the jails fill up or not. I mean, I hate to dwell on that, guys. It just drives me nuts that this stuff's going on. I don't think it would go well where I live. And it may not go very well where you live, but be on your guard. I just saw something today about the food stamp program losing $1 billion every month to alleged fraud and errors, according to Senator Ernst. And this was Katabella Roberts wrote in the Epoch Times. Said U.S. food stamps program is losing around $1 billion a month owing to alleged fraud and errors, according to Joni Ernst. And she's a Republican from Iowa. And the lawmaker issued the warning in a September 26th press release announcing new legislation aimed at combating alleged billions of dollars in monthly losses from the United States Department of Agriculture's Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. Boy, that's a mouthful. It's known as SNAP, S-N-A-P. And that allows low-income families with benefit cards to buy basic food items at approved grocery stores. And known as the SNAPback Inaccurate SNAP Payments Act, the legislation would slash spending by nearly $1 billion a month by ensuring all errors, regardless of the amount, be counted. Another thing that I've read, if somebody is looting and they get arrested, they would lose their federal assistance benefits. And that might help stop things. But then that might hurt their kids or their family. But they have to learn to stop looting, stop robbing. And I'll tell you what, you have to be on your guard. Every place you go, I remember a couple of years ago, I was at Wally World, better known as Walmart. I was walking across the lot from my car to the store, and this guy, who was a little scruffy looking, was standing there, and he's eyeballing me the whole time. And I eyeballed him back. And I would know what he looked like. And I kept walking, but I knew where he was. I would look over my shoulder, and I knew what that guy looked like. And to this day, I remember what he looked like. And there was a robbery in that parking lot. Lady had her purse stolen, and it could have been that guy. People are getting desperate. So you have to be on your guard. You carry a little can of mace, make sure you know how to use it, and use it the right way, not into the wind. I could tell you stories about that. And I've heard of people getting a face full and screaming, and they were shooting at somebody else with this mace spray, and the wind reversed and got them in the face instead of the perpetrator. Yep, that happens. Don't spit into the wind, as the old saying goes. A lot of stuff going on out there. You know, a long time ago, they had the Great Depression back 1929, 1930. And a lot of stuff was going on. And you take a look at what happened during the Great Depression, and there was an article, Becky Little wrote it, and said, one argument is that the rise and fall of mortality with the economy reflects a lag in the efforts of people's health. And in this scenario, death rates would be higher in a good economy because of the poor health conditions people experienced during the previous recession. And in turn, mortality would be lower in a bad economy because of the good conditions people experienced during the previous economic expansion. I don't know about that. I mean, that's her article. But I would say during the Great Depression, you ate more at home. You ate what you could grow and scrounge up. You were in filthier conditions. And it wasn't a good thing. And she finally ends up and says, there's no simple answers as to why the average lifespan increased during the Great Depression. Well, they didn't eat processed foods, in my opinion, or why U.S. mortality has continued to rise and fall with the economy. I'm hearing more from different people that had, well, let's say the jab, that they're getting sicker. They're getting more other flus or other sicknesses or blood clot strokes and whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, I haven't gotten it so far, so what am I doing right? Washing hands. I use sanitizer once in a while. Just around people, I guess. I watch what I eat. I watch where I eat. I watch the surroundings that I'm in. I take my vitamins. I take my vitamin D. I take zinc. I take vitamin B complex. And vitamin A, I believe, for my eyes. And vitamin C. And so far, things have worked out very well. I'm not saying I will get through it. But supposedly, there was a worse condition coming out. And I was just reading that before the show, and I thought, oh, no, not another one. We don't need a lot of problems with diseases, you know, common sense stuff. And we need that. Well, what was it like during the Great Depression? It was a tough time. My parents were in the last part of it. And they grew up through it, but people made it through. And everything was based kind of on the gold standard was the big thing. And it was a transmission mechanism, according to Wikipedia, the Great Depression. Even countries that did not face bank failures and monetary contraction, like when there's no money, firsthand were forced to join the deflationary policy, according to Wikipedia. And under the gold standards price flow mechanisms, the countries lost gold but nevertheless wanted to maintain a gold standard. Well, what you ended up with the Great Depression, people didn't have any money. They didn't have any jobs because they were laid off. I believe it was like 25% of the workforce was laid off. And of course, Hoover came out with ways to fight the Depression. But then they voted him out because Depression happened during Hoover's time. So he was gone. FDR came in. And next thing you know, he came up with the programs that Hoover had and used them to help get everybody out of depression. Well, what was life like? You had to grow your own food. You had to watch your money. Every penny counted. You had to watch where you could buy food. There were food lines, bread lines. There were soup kitchens. If you didn't have a job and you were working, but now you're not, agencies would have soup kitchens where you could at least get hot soup, a coffee, and a piece of bread. That may be the only thing that you eat for the day, but they had these lines like that. And you can take a look at the Great Depression, and you could see pictures of that. And people didn't have new clothes. They wore what they had, and they wore it until it was threadbare. Then they patched it up and used it again. And to get things going, I believe they had to have a war to restart the economies. It's kind of crazy, you know. I mean, everything collapses because of crooked bankers, crooked businesses, and they have to have a war to restart everything. Are we going to run into that now? I don't know. I know that people are talking about sometime in September, there was supposed to be a bank situation or financial crash or whatever. It hasn't happened. And now some people are saying, oh, it's going to be in October. Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows the place. Well, that's a biblical thing, I believe. But it's a problem. And I was doing some research on the Great Depression, and I found one by Kimberly Amadeo, A-M-A-D-E-O. And the Great Depression was a worldwide economic depression that lasted 10 years. It began in the United States on October 24th, 1929, otherwise known as Black Thursday, when panicked investors sold a record 13 million shares. And over the next four trading days, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a popular proxy for the U.S. stock market, fell nearly 25%, and it continued to decline for the next 3 years, losing nearly 90%. Between October 1929 and July 1932. And the stock market crash significantly reduced consumer spending and business investment. And consequently, the U.S. gross domestic product decreased dramatically in the first years of the Great Depression, dropping from $104.6 billion in 1929 to $57.2 billion in 1933. Well, what were the takeaways from all of that? Well, she said the Great Depression was a worldwide economic depression that lasted 10 years. Basically, it started over in Europe, and next thing you know, it came to the United States and Canada. And that's because we didn't have the electronic transmission and clearing of checks and all kinds of stuff. Okay, I'll just keep it that simple. BIS, Bank of International Settlements. And it took a while to get here. And she said, there's no universally agreed upon explanation for why the Great Depression happened. But the most theories cite the gold standard and the Federal Reserve's inadequate response as contributing factors. Also, if you were buying stock back then, they would practically give you the stock. They would allow you to buy, I believe it was 125% you could finance. And that caused a problem. Oh, buy it now, and you can pay us later. Well, you know what happened to that. An accommodation, according to her, she said the combination of the New Deal and World War II lifted the U.S. out of the Depression. Yeah, but we ended up having a national debt like you wouldn't believe that it took us a while to pay off. She also said unemployment reached 25%. And you can look up this the Smoot-Hawley Tariff 1930 to protect domestic jobs. But the life during the Depression was tough for everybody, and everybody had gardens. They had to. Everybody was working maybe two and three jobs if they could find them just to survive. Kind of sounds like now, doesn't it? It's scary. And with the stuff that's going on right now, prices are going. Have you gone to Wally World, Walmart, or Kroger's, or Teeter Harris, or Myers, and looked at the prices? Things are going up and up and up. I mean, somehow they had carambola fruit, and I love it, but it's expensive. And two of them for $3.29. Just two. I only would get those when I went to Florida. And even then, when I got them in Florida 5 or 6 years ago, they only came available in, I believe, March and April. And you could get them at Publix Market. Oh, Publix Market was the best market. It's even better than Kroger's. I mean, in my opinion, it's a fantastic place. And it's not unionized. And they really treat the customers well, and the employees get a share of the profits. I mean, it's a good deal. And they're big through the South. But I love that carambola, and I saw it, and I thought I would get it. And the price was like, ooh, I'll try it once. I have to let them ripen. But prices are going up. A bag of dark chocolates was like $5.29 for Dove Black chocolates, which used to be something, I believe, like $4 and something. Prices are going up. You go to Aldi's. I shop there. I don't get a lot there. I might get canned goods. I might get other things. They had a good deal on Arm & Hammer soap. And I thought, well, yeah, I could use some more. And it was $11 and, I don't know, 59, 69 cents for a gallon jug. Or maybe a gallon and a half. It's a big jug. Trust me. And I thought, yeah, I'll get it. And I have a couple extra at home. And I thought, well, if the economy goes down, you're still going to have to wash clothes. I'll just get that extra jug. And I might go back and get another one. It does a good job with washing clothes. And you don't have to use much of it. And it works. Kroger's, on the other hand, had it at $13 and something. It was about $2 more, and Wally World was about the same. So Aldi's had it cheaper. I don't think I can get it cheaper at Big Lots or any other place. But I'm looking around for the cost of food, and the prices keep going up and up and up. And do I get it now? Or do I wait till it really increases later? And so that's why I like to prep. I'm not a prepper in quotes. I'm not. But I know that when I go out, if I need extra food and I have a place to store it, I will get it. Canned goods, I mean, they can last up to 5 years or maybe longer, as long as there's no bulge in the cans or there are no cracks or dents. Those are the big things that you've got to watch out for. I've got frozen food. I've got freeze-dried food. I don't have a lot of meat, and I need to start stocking up on that. But meat prices right now are they're high and going higher. And I look for canned meat because that lasts, 5, 6 years, as long as the can isn't bulging and it's not dented. And it's great to make beef and noodles, so you have to have the stuff to make noodles. But it's a good quick meal. You need rice, other things. That's how I basically prep. I make sure that I have things that if I have to feed three people, I can do it. And make sure that I do a good job of it. It's not going to be a big fancy meal. But if you haven't started prepping, you better start. I mean, it's never too late to start. And you can do it by buying 5 cans of food every week that you go shopping. But I've always told people, pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy long-term foods, be able to purify and store water, make sure you have your medications, make sure that you have a good first aid kit, make sure you have the proper clothing for the weather. And we're now going into winter, which means it's going to be getting cooler and cooler and cooler. The leaves are starting to turn now here in Ohio. It's starting to get cooler. And by December, I mean, it's going to be cold. Do you have enough heat for your house? Have you changed your filters in the furnace? A lot of things to consider. Do you have a Berkey water filter? I do. I've had one for probably, maybe 10 years. And it works fine. You can filter about 3,000 to 4,000 gallons of water through that one filter setup. And I have fluoride filters too. It takes the fluoride out of the water. And you say, well, why you're taking that out? It's supposed to be good for your teeth. Well, supposedly it's not good for your pineal gland, your third eye, PINEAL. Because the fluoride and other things calcify the pineal gland. For some reason, you can't think, you can't rationalize things. Supposedly, I'm not a doctor. I did stay in a Holiday Inn one night. Actually, I stayed in a Holiday Inn a couple of nights. And when I go to Ohio University for homecoming, then, oh yeah. I think we are in a Holiday Inn for 3 days and let the partying begin. But there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Locally, oh my God, I was looking at Facebook and I'm on Facebook. We've got the Life Laugh and whatever. We've also got Money and Change on there, but I'm a member of different groups. I'm an administrator or an overseer of groups. A friend of mine asked me to sit in and be an administrator to make sure people don't cuss and swear. And so when they do, we basically slap their hands and say, you cannot cuss and swear on Facebook, according to the rules of the group, and you agree to adhere to the rules. So we give them about 7 days off or 3 days off. We never totally ban them. And it's basically, if you behave yourself, you can come back. You can participate. And that's only being fair. And sometimes people get overheated. And locally, oh my God, there was a problem and several groups on Facebook appeared. And oh man, people were upset. They were upset with City Hall. They were upset with the City Commission. They were upset with supposedly burning batteries at a fire department training site. And one of the business owners across the street from where it was done said the smoke fumes got so bad he had to shut his ventilation system down for his employees because they had breathing problems. And this testing company that was in was actually burning lithium batteries. Now, there are ways to dispose of lithium batteries, and you can reclaim things for the batteries, which is fine. And it's a process. I saw it on YouTube and they explained how it was done, and that's great. But what happens if your Tesla car catches fire or your hybrid car battery goes bad and catches fire? Lithium fires are hard to put out. Well, what they were trying to do was have a training facility for local firemen because for them to do emergency training, they have to go probably 40 to 50 miles away, one-way trip to train at this other location, which is, I believe, northwest of Dayton, Ohio. But nevertheless, it's like 40 miles away. And they have a nice training facility, but it takes the firemen away from the city. So if there's a big emergency, somebody has to cover for them, and that's a problem. Well, anyhow, this was going on, and supposedly noxious fumes came out from the burn, and they were doing supposedly testing, and supposedly, they were paying the city so much per burn for their testing. Well, a lot of people didn't like the problems caused by the acrid smoke and whatever, and it was close to the city's water supply. And according to one person, this is a good friend of mine, has a YouTube show on PBS. And he told me, you can't burn anything within 500 feet of a water source. Well, they had an inversion supposedly, and instead of the smoke going straight up, cold air forced it down and it stayed low. And I think that's what caused the problem. But there were a lot of protests, and people really got upset. They went to the city commission meeting and complained there. They went as far as to actually write toxic in paint on a state street or a state road leading out of town and into town. Well, that caused a problem because now they just vandalized state property and now the state patrol can get involved. I checked all that out with a former state patrolman. A lot of stuff going on. People are starting to go nuts. Absolutely nuts. And it's crazy out there. So, guys, be careful when you're out. Watch your surroundings. Prep, because if something happens where you have to stay in your house for an extended period of time, you have food, you have water, you have your medications and stuff. I mean, this is just something that, I've got to tell you guys, it's scary out there. And I watch all of that. And the funny joke here, and I saw it today, a priest and a rabbi are sitting next to each other on an airplane. And after a while, the priest turns to the rabbi and he says, "Is it still a requirement of your faith that you not eat pork?" And the rabbi responds, "Yes, that is still one of our beliefs." And the priest asked again, he says, "Have you ever eaten pork?" To which the rabbi replies, "Yes, on one occasion, I did succumb to temptation and I tasted a ham sandwich." And the priest nodded and understanding and went on with his reading. And after a while later, the rabbi spoke up and he asked the priest, he said, "Father, let me ask you a question. Is it still a requirement that you remain celibate?" And the priest replied, "Why, yes, that is still very much a part of our faith." And the rabbi then asked him, he says, "Father, have you ever fallen to the temptation of the flesh?" And the priest replied, "Yeah, rabbi, on one occasion, I was weak and broke with my faith." And the rabbi looks at the priest and he kind of nodded understandingly. He was silent for a minute and he said, "Sure beats a ham sandwich, doesn't it? Well, Michael, that's all I have for this week. And we'll see everybody Sunday on Money and Change. But beware out there, guys. The economy is not getting any better so far. Be prepared. Make sure that you pay down your debt. Put some money aside by long-term food. Be prepared for cold weather. Make sure you have adequate shelter. Make sure that your filters are clean on your furnaces. Make sure you have alternative heat. Things could get nasty out there. And one of my sources in England, the UK, was saying about all the hostility in London. And if it spills over into the countryside, it's going to be a mess over there. And it will be a mess over there and then spill over to here. So you have to be careful with everything. So, Michael, that is all I have for this week. Hopefully you're back and ready to switch over to the next show.
I will be, and I'll tell you what. Hopefully the housing market is abysmal. Fannie Mae released their thing today and said, we are at rock bottom. And they're right. People like me that have 2.3% interest rates, we are not going to give up right now. There's no way. And, you know, because they're not going to give us the full amount for our houses that the houses are worth. And these investors are trying to buy all these houses right now. So if your house is worth $300,000, they want to give you about $225,000, $230,000 house and say, we'll give you that in cash as is. Think about what you're losing in your equity. Like we had ours appraised at $302,000. That would be almost $80,000 worth of equity that you would lose, $70,000 to $80,000. Ridiculous. No, stand firm, hang on. And be prepared, like Stu said, because it is going to get ugly and they want to cram everybody into apartment complexes and condos and everything else. That's their goal. Understand.
Hey, you know, I think my place was appraised at the 1950 Salvation Army special for my two-bedroom ranch house.
You know what? You have your own house on your own land. And I'm going to tell you, that is a huge thing because they're trying to move people away from that. And you can see what's happening in China. Now that China's population is declining, we are starting to see they have over 1 million units available. 1 million units available. They can't fill them. And you know what? This is going to start trickling over worldwide. Germany's yep. market is... so.
Oh, you did that? You went.
I did. It is.
Oh my! Oh, hey! You know it's about time for us to bail out of here.
All right, that's Stu's cue for he wants to go get some ice cream.
No, and it's basically closed. It's too cold here for ice cream right now. You know, I could probably talk on for another hour, but guess what? We've got another show to do.
What do we got tonight?
I don't know. You're the program person.
Yeah, we don't have any more shows tonight.
We don't.
No, that was last night. And we had Slobberknocker, we had Offsides College Top 25, and then we have Take Point 22, but Take Point 22 is only on every other week. So, you are clear. This is Wednesday. We can gab around for another 10 minutes. It does not matter. You know?
Oh my God, another 10 minutes. What will we talk about?
I don't know, but Cherry's going to come in here because I cleaned the fan and there was all kinds of dust on it. And then she's going to run the vacuum, which is my clue of, if you keep me from my bed, I am going to hurt you. So.
Oh, those things. Okay. Well, hey, you guys all have a good time. We'll talk with you Sunday. I'll be doing the show live Sunday, unless a hurricane comes up and gets us. But anyhow, I'll be doing it live Sunday at 7 p.m., 7 to 8. Check us out on Money and Change, and we'll be going over the financial markets and what's going on. And hopefully we'll help you save some money.
And listen, folks, while you're out there, Life Walk is on at 5 o'clock on Sundays. We're in the Book of Job, and it's chapter 16 through 31. Now we're on chapter 31. It's a great way to de-stress. Listen, I'm not trying to change anybody's belief system or deity or anything else. I'm just simply saying that, you know what, you want a peace of mind in today's world. We get a little bit more humble, hopefully, and a little bit more tolerable because people are doing the opposite out there in the world. So, you know what? It doesn't hurt to be spiritually lifted. And if you want to join us, we'd love people to join us and come and you know, interact and everything. And wonderful books. I go off of the King James Bible. Life Walk is a wonderful, wonderful show. I read like a fifth grader, but it's okay. But you know what counts is that you're there and you're reading. And that's the most important thing. And that's all God wants. So no matter what you believe in, if you're just looking for something spiritual, we will be there. And I'll be more than happy to take people in, tell stories, talk about the different things that you're going through or whatever else. To, you know, and together we can try to figure it out. Two heads are always better than one. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'd love to see you on it. So, but thank you all for tuning in to My World with Stu Scheer. And we are out of here. God bless, Stu. I'll see you later and have a wonderful week.
You too. See ya.